grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord be unto all of you. This morning I should like to direct your attention to the first verses of the lesson which was read just a minute ago, St. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 33 to 36. The Jews answered, Jesus, the Abraham seed, and were never in bondage to any man. What do you mean? You should be made free. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So far the word of God. This ends in Christ Jesus. There are none so blind as those who will not see. The Jews of our text were not free, in spite of the pride they had in their proclaimed descent from Abraham. They were a conquered, occupied nation, ruled over not by the descendants of the father of the faithful, but by the hated Gentiles. When they protested their freedom, they were totally out of touch with reality. They were blind because they would not see. Now there are many people like the Jews of our text today. They speak of their autonomy, of their independence, of their freedom. But like the Jews of our Lord's day, they are slaves. Slaves to peer groups. Slaves to social, political, and economic norms. Slaves to fashions and fads. But basically, and above all, slaves to sin. Even though they protect their autonomy, they lack autonomy. They lack independence. They lack integrity. Now in this encounter with the Jews, which St. John records here, our Savior not only strikes at the Achilles heel of his critics and brings them face to face with reality, but he also tells them and us what it means to be a truly autonomous man. Jesus first confronted the Jews and us with the blessing that he who commits sin is the slave of sin. We don't have the freedom or the autonomy to choose. Our freedom is illusionary, a myth, a fantasy. Those who claim to be free are as blind as the Jews of our time. But it isn't only that we lack freedom. We are actually slaves, bound by shackles to Satan and to his way. What the scriptures tell us about original sin is a reality, readily observed by anyone who is not blind and has not blinded himself. An infant is not innocent. He does not come into the world with a clean slate. He is a selfish, self-centered sinner, and a slave. There's only one way to freedom, and that is through the Son. It is that message that's the essence of the precious gospel which you and I proclaim, but which must also be believed. It is only in the Lord that we have the real autonomy. And even this gift is good because we cannot work it alone. If the Son makes us free, we are free indeed. Now, freedom in Christ is both a freedom from and a freedom to. It's first of all a freedom from fear. We don't always appreciate that freedom because most of us have not known the real fear that comes to the slaves of sin. We were washed by baptism and made free from that time on. the trap to the man who does not know that freedom from sin. Trap to the man who, for instance, is truly repentant, but has not yet come to believe the gospel of forgiveness. You'll find a Judas and a Saul who is still a slave of sin, despairing and despondent, because he is not free from the fear that sin and Satan instill. Freedom is also a freedom from fantasy. The Jews of our text were living in an unreal world. They had actually persuaded themselves that they were free, even though they were surrounded on all sides by the clear evidence of their status as a conquered people. But most important was the evidence of their slavery to sin. The fact that they were filled with that determination to kill Jesus, to take his life, should have shown them the fantasy of their presumed freedom. They were slaves to sin. Just as they sought to deny their political bondage, they lived in the dream world that they were spiritually free and were living lives that were pleasing to God. People today live in a dream world when they deny their slavery to sin. Often, by a peculiar logic, they persuade themselves of their freedom by boasting of their freedom from the Ten Commandments. They look on these as bonds and fences which hem them in. But God intended them as barriers to protect against the prejudice. They are the guardrails which keeps us from falling into the abyss. They are the roadway that leads across the swamp and takes us safely across that dangerous area. The limitations that they impose are for our health and welfare. But too often when people talk about freedom, they have in mind only a freedom from. Real freedom, the freedom of the truly autonomous man, is also a freedom too. It was with this freedom that our Lord was concerned. You see, the Christian is free because paradoxically he is now able to be the willing slave of all. He is free to live a life of close communion with his Maker. It is no longer a relationship of fear, but a relationship of Father, and he is free to do his Father's will. He can live the life that God wants him to live, and he can now live also in harmony with his fellow man. He is free to love those who hate him. He's not bound by the old slavery of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, vengeance for vengeance. He's free to share with his fellow men the evidences and the products of God's bounty. He doesn't have to build bigger and bigger barns because he knows that God will send him manna day by day. He's also free to witness, to tell others of the freedom that he has come to enjoy, and to invite them to share in that freedom. You see, he doesn't limit his freedom by inviting others to share, for others too may become free, and as they become free, his own freedom is extended. So if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from fear, free from your slavery to sin, free from fantasy, free from the guilt of sin, but also free too, free to share, free to practice Christian life. You will no longer be blind, but you will be seeing, and then you will be a fully autonomous man. Amen.